the sea. God is in a place of freedom. God is in a place of captivity. God is everywhere, and God is in all things, and He is sovereign over all. And so man, the judgment of God won't be evaded by the wisdom or strength of man. And there's good news coming that we have a way, though, that it can be avoided. And that way is Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, we're hopeless. We're helpless. There's no way that we're going to be able to bear the judgment in ourselves and escape that. We would be judged and sent to hell for our sins if it weren't for Jesus. And so the judgment of God is something that absolutely cannot be defeated by the wisdom or strength of man. And that's not very popular in our culture. Our culture likes to think that we're smarter than God. Our culture likes to think that we are strong in ourselves. But the Bible speaks differently. The Bible says we are weak. We are sinful. We are frail. And only in God and in Christ do we have strength. The Bible says that God destroys the wisdom of the world. He confounds the wisdom of the world. Because the wisdom of the Lord is true wisdom, pure, undefiled, coming down from heaven. That's the wisdom that Jesus brings to us. Number four, the judgment of God is comprehensive. The judgment of God is comprehensive. Okay? And so we need to recognize that no one's going to be exempt from the judgment of God. It says in verse 1, those who are left I will kill with the sword. Not one of them shall flee away. Not one of them shall escape. Verse 8, and there I will destroy it from the surface of the earth. So the judgment of God is not just for quote-unquote bad people. And that's very common in our culture today. Well, there's good people and there's bad people. The good people will go to heaven, the bad people will go to hell and face God's judgment. But we see that God's judgment is comprehensive. It's against all who are sinful. And all who are sinful will be destroyed. There's no group of people that is going to be spared or get out because they are, of Israel or this particular ethnic background. And that's kind of what, back up just a little bit. That's kind of what Amos is getting at here in verse 7 when he says, Israel, are you not like the Cushites to me, O people of Israel, declared the Lord? Did I not bring up Israel from the land of Egypt and the Philistines from Captor and the Syrians from Kir? So he kind of recognizes that some of the people in Amos' time were saying, well, we're of Israel. We're God's covenant chosen people. We're not going to face this judgment. This isn't for us. But God is saying, oh, no. Did I not bring you up just like I brought other nations up? Yeah, I made a covenant with you, but don't think that that work in Egypt to free you from the Egyptians was necessarily unique. I brought up other nations and moved them around just as easy as I'll move you around, is what he's getting at. And so we think sometimes that certain people are exempt because this reason or that reason, but that's not the case. What Paul says in Romans 3, 23 through 26, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Okay? So the judgment of God is for all who sinned. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you here tonight, we've all done it. We've all sinned. We've all made mistakes. We've all said things that we wish we could have taken back. We all have not lived up to God's standard of righteousness. And so comprehensively, we are under the judgment of God and need God's intervention to save us. And it is that very intervention that does save. It is that very intervention, the name and the person and the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, that allows us to mercifully be freed and spared from judgment. And that is the fifth point fifth characteristic of the judgment of God. The judgment of God will mercifully be avoided by the elect. The judgment of God will mercifully be avoided by the elect. This is not something that the elect, that God's people, believers, are owed, or have earned. This is something that is mercy. This is something that is God giving something that we don't deserve and withholding something that we do deserve, punishment. We see in verse 8 here, it says, "Behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from the surface of the ground, except that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, declares the Lord." So even in the midst of this passage of judgment, God inserts a promise that not completely, not totally, not fully will the people of God be destroyed. That there's going to be a remnant. There's going to be a group from the house of Jacob, house of Israel, that is going to be preserved. That is going to, that have been faithful to me and will carry forward the legacy of being a faithful follower of Yahweh. And so it's a promise, even in the midst of this judgment. And so what do we learn from this? Well, we learn that God always preserves a remnant of his people that he has called. God always preserves a remnant of his people that he has called. Additionally, God has preserved believers in Christ and will deliver them from the judgment to come because Christ has taken judgment for them on the cross. It's not that judgment won't occur, brothers and sisters. It's that when we stand before the mercy seat of God, when we stand before the throne, okay, God sees Christ's blood for all who believe that has washed them white as snow. Okay, I heard it said this one time. Everybody's going to be judged, and you have a choice of when you want that judgment to take place. Do you want to be judged in the future, or do you want to be judged 2,000 years in the past on the cross? I've always liked that saying, that quote, because it's 100% true. We either have a choice. We can roll the dice and hope for the best in judgment in the future, or we can trust in Jesus Christ and have that judgment satisfied 2,000 years ago on the cross. But everybody's going to face that judgment. And as we've seen, if you delay receiving Christ, if you delay repenting of your sin and putting your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, that judgment is not going to be a judgment that you enjoy. It is not going to be a judgment. It's going to be all the things that we looked at today. It's going to be right. It's going to be comprehensive. It's not going to be evaded and avoided by your strength and your wisdom. It's going to be horrible. Okay? And so we need to recognize this. But, as I said, for the believer, for the Christian, the judgment's been absorbed. The judgment's been taken. Now, we're going to be judged for rewards. We're going to be judged for our deeds on earth. But that's not in the sense of salvation, whether you're saved or not. That's for rewards, for blessings in heaven. Okay, the Bible talks about that. Paul talks about that in Corinthians. I'm talking about the great white throne judgment. When all people stand before him to either be separated into the group of sheep or goats. And we, as God's flock, have been graciously transferred from a goat to a sheep. We can rejoice in that. We can rejoice in that, and we can allow that to fuel us in ministry. That right now, John 3 talks about how as far as unbelievers go, they're not going to be judged in the future. Their judgment stands upon them already. They've been judged already. And so it should fuel us to be more zealous and more evangelistic and share with others the gospel of Jesus Christ so that others may mercifully avoid the judgment of God. Okay? So let's take a look. I just got a few practical takeaways from our text today. Very simple things. I've already hit on some of these. And then we'll wrap up our time in prayer today. Okay. And so first of all, don't mistake God's patience for God's permissiveness. Don't mistake God's patience for God's permissiveness. What do I mean by that? I mean this. A lot of times, just as we saw in 2 Peter, people were going, well, you know, man, God, he hasn't judged, or he hasn't sent a prophet in a long, long, long time. So, you know, he must not care that we can go off and do this, that, and the other thing. We can go off and sin. And God's patience is not a permission slip to sin. All right? Don't believe that lie from the enemy that it is. Okay? God's patience is meant to bring us to righteousness and repentance, as we saw in our text today. Not permissiveness. Don't get it twisted. Secondly, let's let God determine what's right and wrong, not the culture. Let God determine what's right and wrong, not the culture. We saw in our text that one of the aspects of the judgment of God is that God is right. God is righteous. God is just. Sometimes in our culture, we get so much influence, we get so much pressure put on us, so many pushes and pulls in different directions, especially our youth today. Pressures in and around public schools, pressures in peers to party and to sin and to live a certain way. And we can begin to think that, well, I mean, it's not that wrong to do this, or, I mean, it can't be, you know, that big of a deal if I do this. Go back to God's Word. Allow Him to determine what's right and what's wrong and what's moral and what's immoral, okay? And use that as your guide through life. You will be blessed and you will find peace in that, okay? You start turning to the culture. Well, the culture says, the TikTok superstar says this, or, you know, my friend who's not a Christian says this. Well, they're not biblical influences upon your life. They're probably not going to be right on these matters, okay? And then finally, for the believer in the room, which is most of you, for the believer in the room, let's rejoice. Let's rejoice that our judgment has been taken by Christ on the cross. We can rejoice this morning and say hallelujah, amen, because we don't have any fear of death. We don't have any fear of judgment. Because Christ has taken that. The only thing we're going to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. And that should bring great joy, great love in your heart this morning. But maybe you're in this room, or maybe you're listening online and you're not a believer. You're not a believer yet. You haven't yet repented of your sin, turned away from it, and committed to obedience in Jesus Christ. Then my message for you today is, don't wait to do that. Don't delay and wait to do that. Do it today. Because as we saw in our text, though God is very patient, God did send Josiah. He did, just as he said he was going to do. It was 300 years later, but it nevertheless was. And there's prophecies about, we just read in 2 Peter, how God is going to come back. Jesus is going to come back. And He's going to judge all people, and He's going to dissolve away this earth and these first heavens and these first earth by fire. And that hasn't happened yet. But don't mistake it not happening yet for it not happening at all. It will happen one day. Just as Josiah was prophesied and came, that judgment was prophesied, and it will come one day. God is faithful to carry out His word, okay? And the judgment of God is certain. It is as certain as yesterday's news. And so therefore, in light of that, let's get right with God today. Let's give a short account with God today. Let's repent, put our faith, hope, and trust in God today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this portion of it. Thank You, Lord, even for a message that can be, just less than enthusiastic to hear on a Sunday morning when we're already a little bit tired. But it's a portion in Your Word, nevertheless. And I pray that, Lord, we saw what You communicated through it. I pray that we took it to heart, and that this week we might apply some of what you've given us to obey and to bring into a lost and dying world that desperately needs you. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for the time. May you be glorified and lifted high in our thoughts and our words and our actions this week. Give us wisdom to navigate all the complex situations. Give us compassion with those who are difficult to deal with. And give us just a peace in the midst of many who are going through a lot of trials and tribulations. Lord, help us to stand firm and hold on tight to you through anything we may be walking through. We love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Thank you.